Welcome to Dark History Time with Brian. A few things before we get started. Need to let you know that you might find some of this material disturbing. We do use adult language on the show. Listener discretion is advised. Hey guys, thanks for sticking with us again while I had another brief pause in the regularly scheduled drops of the podcast. No real excuse. Hope you listened to and liked the episode that I did with Cheyenne on Jack Unterweger, looking at the numbers. It's slowly creeping up there. I imagine some of you fell off due to the big pauses in regular releases. I hope that's the case. Hope I'm not boring you guys to death already. But let's try to get those numbers up if we could, please. And I will try to do better at getting these things out on time. This is going to be a brief one. Just something to throw out there, because I realized during the recording of that episode, if you listened, that I had not done March or April's dates in Dark History. So I wanted to address that a little bit right now. Going to do March, and I'm only going to do to April 15, because if you are familiar with or follow Dark History like I do, you know from the 15th on there's a lot of stuff that occurred. So I want to dedicate an episode, which will hopefully drop next week, to that. So you guys hopefully are going to get two episodes in 2 weeks, and then hopefully only a week or two between those and another new one. So without further ado, let's start with March dates in Dark History. And we start right off with March 1st, 1932. The 20-month-old son of Charles Lindbergh was kidnapped. His body was found on May 12th, only a few miles from the house. The Lindberghs had paid the ransom that was requested. It was later discovered that most likely when the kidnappers were taking the child from the upstairs bedroom down the ladder, they slipped and fell or dropped the Lindbergh baby, resulting in his death. So he died right then and there, but they continued the appearance of needing the ransom money to make that happen. On March 5th, 1770, the Boston Massacre occurs when British troops fired at American citizens who were harassing them, killing five and injuring six. May 6th, 1836, the Alamo, down by San Antonio, Texas, falls after a 13-day siege. There were never more than 200 defenders in the Alamo against an approximated Mexican army force of at least 1,800, possibly up to 6,000 troops. The Mexican losses were very heavy, comparatively. They lost anywhere between 600 and 1,600 troops, which ultimately led to them being defeated later by Sam Houston. March 8th, 1951, Martha Beck and Raymond Fernandez, known as the Lonely Hearts Killers, were executed on that date. March 11th, 1918, the Spanish flu reached America as 107 soldiers at Fort Riley, Kansas, became sick. Ultimately, a quarter of the American population got sick, with 500,000 deaths. Worldwide deaths reached 22 million by the end of 1920. Most of you are probably at least familiar with the Ides of March and Et tu, Brute. That comes from March 15th, 44 BC, when Julius Caesar was slain in the Senate chamber by fellow senators. I shouldn't say fellow senators, they were senators he was in charge. March 15, 1995, the I-95 killer, Gary Ray Bowles, murders his first known victim. March 16th, 1968, the My Lai Massacre in Vietnam takes place. American soldiers killed 504 men, women, and children in the village. 25 officers were ultimately charged with complicity and a cover-up. Only one was convicted, and he was later pardoned by President Nixon. March 20th, 1995. I believe we hit on this in Morbidly Macabre at one point in time. I can't remember if it was Mitchell's or if it was Austin's thing that they brought as far as Om Shinrikyo, but that what brought that to everybody's attention was March 20th, 1995, a nerve gas attack on the Tokyo subway system during rush hour. 12 were ultimately killed and 5,000 injured. March 23rd, 1998, serial killer Gerald Staino is executed in Florida. March 24th, 1989, I remember this very well, would have been a couple years before I got out of high school, the Exxon Valdez ran aground just off of Alaska. It ended up spilling 11 million gallons of oil into a natural habitat area that spanned over 45 miles, killing untold numbers of wildlife. March 27th, 1977, the worst accident in civil aviation history. Two Boeing 747 jets collided on the ground in the Canary Islands, killing 370 people. March 28th, 1979. Don't know how many people are familiar with the Three Mile Island incident. That was a nuclear reactor here in the States. It had a near meltdown where radioactive steam was released into the atmosphere. Fortunately, no deaths inside the power plant and none known to have occurred due to the radioactive steam. The limited knowledge I have about reactors, basically it overheated, the water valve didn't work to attempt to cool it. I don't know ultimately how it was prevented from total meltdown, but fortunately it was. Excuse me, March 30th, 1981. President Ronald Reagan is shot in the chest in Washington, D.C. as he was headed to a limo after a speech. Three others in the party there were hit, including Press Secretary James Brady, who was shot in the forehead, but he did survive. You gun enthusiasts and anybody else that follows that may be familiar with the Brady Bill. That stemmed from this incident. The key components of the Brady Bill were requiring a waiting period and background checks. It was introduced in 1988, so 7 years post-incident, but wasn't signed into law until November 30th, 1993, 12 years after the incident. So DC, in typical DC fashion, took for fucking ever. I wanted to close out in March for you guys with a little thing that I started doing a while ago as far as trying to lighten the mood a little bit, especially before we get into April. And these come to you once again from the page a day calendar that I had from last year. I hope I don't butcher this name. I'm going to try not to. It seems pretty straightforward, but then again, I'm not Hispanic, so I'm probably going to butcher it. Very interesting story here. Wenceslao Mogal was fighting on the side of legendary Mexican revolutionary general Pancho Villa when he was captured on March 18, 1915, and sentenced without a trial to execution by firing squad. He was shot 9 times, once by each member of the firing squad, and received a 10th coup de grace shot to the head. He suffered major injuries and had some facial disfigurement, but he managed to survive. His story was picked up more than 2 decades later by the Evening Independent in St. Petersburg, Florida, and on July 16, 1937, he was a guest on Ripley's Believe It or Not radio show, where he was given the nickname El Fusilado, the Executed One. That's just craziness. This one is humorous and fortunately didn't lead to any harm, but nonetheless, don't do it. This one goes to April. I guess I went ahead and jumped to April on this one, but we'll get it out of the way now before I get into the heavy stuff. April 15th, 2012, Welshman Reese Owen Jones and Carrie Mules woke up with a peculiar house guest in their Queensland, Australia apartment. It was a 7-year-old fairy penguin named Dirk from nearby SeaWorld on Queensland's Gold Coast. The two men had drunkenly broken into the SeaWorld the night before, swimming with dolphins and setting off a fire extinguisher in a shark enclosure before making off with Dirk. They briefly tried to care for Dirk at their home by feeding him and putting him in the shower before releasing him into a canal where they were spotted by locals who called the police. The men were apprehended, chastised for their dangers and irresponsible intoxicated hijinks, and fined $1,000 Australian each. Dirk was rescued and safely returned to SeaWorld, where he was reunited with his partner, Peaches. So, there you go. I mean, a drunk Welshman. No real surprise there, I don't believe. Don't take offense. It's true. And it's well known. I don't think they take offense at being heavy drinkers from some of the Celtic countries. So let's start off April with a big name that a lot of people probably should know by now, especially due to the popularity of Netflix's Mindhunter and the brilliant portrayal of this gentleman by Cameron Britton, who truly becomes Ed Kemper. On April 2nd, 1973, Ed Kemper murdered and decapitated his mother, ultimately placed her head up on a block, threw darts at it, put her larynx down into the garbage disposal, tried to dispose of it that way. It spit it back out. Typical Ed humor. He said even after death, she still wouldn't stop bitching at him. Sorry for the throat clearing, guys. Not sure what's going on today, but apologize in advance and post incident, I guess you could say. April 4th, 1968. Martin Luther King Jr. is assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee at the Lorraine Motel. He was in town to give a speech. I would like to think that most of you have seen the iconic photo of people pointing across the street from the balcony of the Lorraine. I have visited Lorraine twice. Pretty somber experience. They have turned it into the Civil Rights Museum, so there is that. That you kind of wind through the old part of the hotel that's been turned into that, and you ultimately end up on the second floor at the end of the hallway where they removed the traditional wall and replaced it with plexiglass, so you're looking right into the two rooms that were occupied by Martin Luther King and his entourage. April 5th, 1986, I remember this as well. A bomb went off in a disco in West Berlin, killing two American soldiers, and that led directly to an airstrike against Libya 9 days later. Muammar Gaddafi was the dictator in Libya, is known as a terrorist state. Intelligence put together that they were behind the bombing, and that led directly to U.S. airstrike against Libya. Any of my hair metal fans out there that recall Def Leppard's Hysteria album, believe that, the Gods of War song on there, I believe that's the one that used clips of Margaret Thatcher talking and ended with Ronald Reagan saying they counted on America to be passive, they counted wrong. That's from that incident. April 6th, 1917, Congress approved a declaration of war, and the United States enters World War I. Not sure how many people know about this. I'm sure you've at least heard of the country. I remember it getting quite a bit of news coverage, and it's pretty insane. It's insane how many times this has happened throughout our history. I mean, I'll tell you about this one, and then I'll mention a couple other ones. April 6th, 1994. Genocide in Rwanda begins after a plane carrying the presidents of Rwanda and Burundi was shot down. They were meeting to discuss ending the ethnic rivalries between the Hutu and the Tutsi tribes. After their deaths, a genocidal conflict exploded in the country between the tribes, with over 500,000 people being killed and 2 million fleeing. Ethnic rivalries. I think we could say that Hitler's ideology was rooted in ethnic, and wouldn't even call it a rivalry, I'd call it just issues with other ethnicities. Ethnic cleansing, obviously something here was Cambodia with the Khmer Rouge, Bosnia, and I know I'm forgetting other ones. I mean, even, Black Hawk Down, Somalia. Couldn't think of it there for a minute. These things tend to happen with crazy regularity. April 8th. I will probably do more on this gentleman later. I do have an album that I dedicated to him on my original Facebook page, Brian's Dark History and Pop Culture page. I believe it's, I know it spoke to me because it's quite a story, but it's also, we were very close in age when all of this was happening. On April 8th, 1990, Ryan White passed away at the age of 18 due to complications from the AIDS virus. He was a hemophiliac who contracted the virus from a blood transfusion. But since this is early on in the whole AIDS epidemic, and nobody was really that educated on it, he was banned from going to school at the age of 10. They didn't want him in school. They didn't want to take any chances. His family moved to Cicero, Indiana, where he was welcomed and was able to go through school, complete high school. Lots of press coverage, became a big spokesperson for understanding more about the virus. Ultimately, when he passed, big name celebrities at the time attended his funeral. It was attended by Barbara Bush, I believe, Liz Taylor, Michael Jackson, Elton John. And I know I'm sure there's more, but he has a very nice headstone / memorial in a cemetery over there in Indiana that I visited a few times. While it's tragic, I also view it as uplifting that a young man was able to shine so much light on an unknown killer and hopefully ultimately lead to a better understanding that it wasn't just what was originally billed as the gay disease, and a lot of people didn't care this, that homosexual men tended to be the largest population of people affected with it. Hopefully Ryan helped open some eyes and clear up some ignorance related to the AIDS virus. April 10th, 1942, another crazy, crazy thing. I don't know how many people have heard about the Bataan Death March, but it started on April 10th, 1942. American and Filipino POWs were forced on a six-day march of 60 miles. 76,000 Allied POWs, including 12,000 Americans, marched under a blazing sun, where they were denied food and water for those 6 days, which ultimately resulted in 5,000 U.S. deaths. Also April 10th, 3 years later, 1945, the concentration camp at Buchenwald was liberated. From 1937 until the liberation, it had housed 238,980 people. Of those, 56,545 died. The U.S. troops, upon liberation, went to the German villages in the area and made the villagers come to the camp to see what had been going on right under their noses. April 12th, 1861. Civil War begins when cannons are fired on towards Fort Sumter in South Carolina from the South Carolina coastline. April 14th, 1865. President Abraham Lincoln is shot attending a play at Ford Theater. He died the next morning. April 15th, 1912. The RMS Titanic sinks with 2,224 people aboard. Over 1,500 of those people died. 700 were rescued. A lot of people think drowning. I do not recall, and I forgive me for not recalling exactly which program it was that brought to the population. The majority of those people probably did not drown, but rather suffocated in essence due to the temperature of the water. Their lungs were not able to expand and bring in air. They just basically kind of froze to death, I suppose you could say, but it was more the inability to bring fresh air into their lungs and for their lungs to expand. And then, like I said, we're going to kind of finish off here at the 15th, April 15th, 1927. Maybe do an episode on this guy later too, because it's a pretty crazy story. But Fritz Haarmann was guillotined. He was known as the Butcher of Hanover, also known as the Vampire of Hanover, and the Wolfman. This was due to his preferred method of killing being biting into or through his victims' throats. He would mutilate and dismember them. All of the victims were males between the ages of 10 and 22. Although he was tried for 27, he claimed that his victim count was somewhere between 50 to 70. They just weren't able to get anything else as far as concrete to say that that was the case. But yeah, good old Fritz used to call it his love bite. While he was strangling his victims, he would bite into their Adam's apple a number of times, crushing it, which led to asphyxiation. Other times he did bite clean through the thing and ripped it out with his teeth. So good old Fritz Haarmann. And that, folks, is going to be it for this go around. Short, sweet, get it fired out to you. Hopefully, April 22nd, Friday evening, and then I will get with Austin in person in the next couple days to record one that hopefully sounds better. I hope this one sounds okay. This is another one that I'm doing at home and just sending to him. But we will tackle events from April 15th on through the end of the month of April, because there is a lot to unpack. A lot took place. April is a very heavy month. So with that, I'll cut you loose for now. Thanks for sticking with us. Please try to share and tell people about the pod. I know it's not, I know I'm not a huge name in the true crime community, but I like to think that I'm a semi-knowledgeable one, and I'd like to see this podcast get a little more traction. Like I said, I know some of that's due to my lack of regularity, but I know some of the episodes have gotten some really nice numbers and some have not. So if you're one of those people that's listened to both and can maybe fire me some messages on Facebook or wherever, let me know what you liked and what you didn't like, why some are more popular than others, and hell, throw me some ideas. I'd be more than happy to hit them. I've got plenty of my own, but let me know what you guys want to hear about, and I'll be sure to look into it and try to do that for some people. I will cut you loose for now. We'll talk to you more on the next one. Thanks again, guys.